Let us turn again for a short time this evening to the portion of God's word that we read from the book of Daniel and chapter 5. And seeking the Lord's enabling, we wish to take the words that you'll find in verse 27 as our text. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Due to the spiritual ignorance that envelops our land, very few people realize that hundreds of everyday phrases that trip off their lips are either direct scriptural references or paraphrases of things that you will find in Scripture. In the Lord's providence, the Reformation came at a time when the mass printing press was beginning to develop and the Bible was translated into the tongues of many nations, circulated throughout, and most people learned to read because of the availability of the Bible in their own tongues. So it therefore, particularly in our own nation, has had a profound effect on our language. Every day you will hear people using phrases like, the love of money is the root of all evil, and they have no idea where it comes from. The powers that be, ruling with a rod of iron, the blind leading the blind, can a leopard change its spots, all from the Scriptures. Well, here's another one. The writings on the wall. And that's a phrase that's never applied in a positive context. It's always preceded with something like, I'm afraid to have to tell you, the writing's on the wall. Or the writing's on the wall for you, I'm afraid. Well, for Belshazzar, the writing was on the wall, and it said to him, thou art weighed in the balances, and thou art found wanting. Something catastrophic, something disastrous was about to befall him. He'd been weighed. He'd been found wanting. So the end for him was nigh. Everything he knew, everything he had, including his very life, was about to be ripped from him. Why? Because he had been weighed in the balances and he'd been found wanting. And that's the question we want to pose for every one of us gathered here today, particularly those of you who were so proud, so defiant, so rebellious that you excluded yourself from God's house this morning. Who do you think you are? No saving grace, no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, refusing the gospel time after time after time. Well, for you, the writing's on the wall. And it says you are weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. You don't meet the standard. You're a lightweight. You lack spiritual bulk. You fall short, you are inadequate, and you are deficient. And that is a very serious condition to enter God's house. To present yourself before Almighty God, and His declaration is, you're weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. Because if you're not here to worship God as your creator and your savior, you're wanting, you're lacking. Oh, and that's not very trendy to say, is it? It's a bit unexpected to come into God's house and not hear something fluffy, something nice, something that's going to make you feel good. Well, the calling of the preacher is to tell you the truth. And what is being presented before you is the truth of the God of truth. And he says, you've come into my presence. I am weighing you, and I find you wanting. That's the position Belshazzar was found in. We want to look at four things. Four things about this text, Tekel, as it applied to Belshazzar. The first is the process. There was a process involved. Thou art weighed in the balances. Belshazzar was a great man. A real man. The historical evidence is there. He existed, Scripture tells us. He was the co-regent, the crown prince of Babylon. He was influential. He was powerful. He sat on the throne of the most advanced kingdom in the civilized world. We would call him a world superpower. He had everything a man could possibly want. He had wealth, he had power, he had riches, he had comforts, he had all his citizens bowing down before him. So powerful that he took it upon himself to mock the Almighty God of Daniel. Bring in the vessels. The vessels looted from the temple in Jerusalem. And let's use them in our debauchery. Bring them in and fill them with wine. Let's drink out of them and worship our gods and mock the God of Daniel. Oh, he thought he could do what he liked. He thought he lacked nothing. He thought he could soil and debase these vessels and mock the Lord of glory. Ah, but one far greater than he was about to come into his providence. One far greater than he was about to confront him, arrest him, challenge him. The Most High God of Daniel. And what did God say to him? Oh, you may think you are exalted above all men. You may think you have every comfort that the world has to offer. But I'm weighing you in the balances. I hold the scales. This is the process that I am putting you through. I will do it. The standard is mine. The process is mine. And Belshazzar, I'm weighing you. I'm conducting an evaluation, an assessment. And against what standard was the Almighty God of Daniel weighing Belshazzar? His own standard. And his standard is absolute perfection. Now, I've come across many human beings under many different circumstances in my time. I have never met one arrogant enough to say to me that they are absolutely perfect. Because they normally say, I'm not perfect, but I'm a good man. I'm not perfect, but I'm a good person. Well, if you're not perfect, then you're not good enough to be weighed in God's scales. Because his scales are calibrated to perfection. That's the measurement that you are being weighed against. Infinite holiness, infinite righteousness, and a perfectly just standard. Because God has every right to demand that standard. If you've ever been to a jeweler's with second-hand jewelry, or you've perhaps been to a pawn shop, one of the things that they will do is that they will either examine or they will weigh jewelry that you give to them to find out the gold standard that's in them, particularly if there is no hallmarkings on the jewelry that you bring in. And they'll place them on the scales and they'll weigh them up and they'll put the eyeglass in and they'll look at them closely. And you're standing there nervously wondering, well, what's the carat in this? What's it going to be worth? Is it pure gold? And when a jeweler does that, there's always a degree of subjectivity in his or her assessment. And they make their declaration and they give you your money. Well, God makes a perfect assessment. His process is not subjective. And his standard is not a secret. His standard is emblazoned on the pages of scriptures that you have all known and read. So none of you are left without an excuse. You cannot say, oh, I didn't know that God demanded perfection. Just like Belshazzar in verse 22, thou knowest all this. Are you being weighed tonight? Is God holding the scales and conducting an evaluation on you? Whether you like it or not, he will do it. He might do it tonight, or he might wait till the great weighing in the balances, what we call the judgment day. Something that you cannot ignore. You can try and not think about it. But even the most debased human being knows that they're accountable to God. They just hold it in unrighteousness. And remember this. And even the children will understand this. One sin is not absolute perfection. One drunken party, one swear word, one lustful glance at a man or a woman, you're weighed in the balances and you're found wanting because God demands perfection. But we see, secondly, after the process, there's the findings. Now, while the finding itself is significant, we have to remember that Daniel is only speaking the words of Almighty God. This is the findings of your Creator, the one before whom we will all stand. This is his findings. He makes the proclamation. And he reminds himself of his divine credentials to Belshazzar in verse 23. The God in whose hand thy breath is, your very next breath is in the hands of this one who's conducting the process and who declares to Belshazzar, you are found wanting. The one who's numbered your days, already numbered your days. How arrogant we are to think that we're going to wake up in the morning. I've encountered death more times than I would care to remember. And there's one thing that they all had in common is that they thought they would get home from their car journey. They thought they would wake up in the morning. They thought they would see their loved ones again. It is appointed unto men once to die. God, who conducts this weighing process, knows that day. So he weighed Belshazzar against his standard of absolute perfection, and he says, Belshazzar, you don't even come close. You don't measure up. Now, the grace of God is evident here because he presents his judgments in ways that everyone can understand, even the children. The children gathered here, what a joy it is to see children under the preaching of the gospel. It's a picture that you can understand, the scales. You put something heavy in one scale, and you put something in the other pan, and you want them to balance. That's the picture that's presented. When I was younger, we used to go into the sweet shop, and it was a quarter of this. I think it's 100 grams now, and you'd stand there in front of the scales, and the needle would move, and you would want it to go to the fore. You wanted to get every piece of sweet for your money. And that's the picture, children. Belshazzar's in the scales and the needle doesn't get close. In fact, the needle doesn't even move. We sang that in Psalm 62, didn't we? The scriptures describe perfectly the life of the sinner. In balance laid, the holy are more light than vanity. Is your life filled with vanity? Light things. Things that won't move the scales. Fancy houses, fancy holidays, fancy cars, timeshares here, nice suits here, nice jobs there. They won't move the balance. God says in his findings, you're found wanting because what you have is lighter than vanity. And the passage tells us two very, very significant things as to why this was the findings of Almighty God when he examined Belshazzar in the scales. The first is in verse 22. O Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thine heart. Proud and lofty. He knew. That exacerbates it. He knew all this. He'd been told all this. He'd watched his father. But still proud. I think the Gaelic word is brackle. Cocky, rebellious. I'm fine as I am. I don't need God. I'm fine where I am. But not only was he proud and arrogant, verse 20 and 21 tell us he did not heed the warnings. He saw what happened to his father. He saw the righteous judgments of God. He saw this is the way God deals with a proud, rebellious man. You're found wanting. How gracious God is to everyone gathered here this evening that he reveals his warnings. Are you taking heed? Or are you fast asleep with your eyes open? Looking at the preacher, pretending to be awake, and your mind is taken up with things that are lighter than vanity. Well, open your ears and open your eyes to the warnings that God in his grace is giving you. Mene there tells you, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Are you truly conscious of whose hand your next breath is in? What would the findings be for you if you were weighed in the balances this night? Because it's not in your estimation. It's in the estimation of the God who only demands absolute perfection. Because if you stand in these scales without Jesus Christ, whose death we remember this morning, whose death you were too proud, ignoring the warnings to come and hear. If you stand in the scales without him, you will be naked, exposed, helpless. And God's declaration against you will be, I find you wanting. But after the process and after the findings, hearing these things, we see thirdly, we see the effect. This had an effect on Belshazzar. It had a profound effect on him. The writing on the wall had a profound effect on this great and mighty man. Every time God reveals himself in his word, it should have a profound effect on us. It took Belshazzar by great surprise. He wasn't expecting it. He was in the middle of a feast that would often take days. It was filled with entertainment. They were having great fun. They were imbibing wine. They had women there. Vulgarity. Alcohol robs a man of his ability to reason and think straight. It robs a man of his reason because while, and this is a historical fact, as well as recorded in Scripture, while he was feasting, King Cyrus had besieged the city. And what's he doing? He's having a party. But through his alcohol-impaired vision and his debauched conduct, he sees the writing on the wall. Oh, that changed things. Sobered up pretty quickly. How did it affect him? Well, the scripture tells us five ways how he's affected. Verse 6, his countenance was changed. The brightness of his pallor was changed. We would say he went white as a sheet. The color drained from his cheeks. Oh, there's no jollity now. There's no mocking the Lord and drinking out of the vessels that they'd taken from Jerusalem. He's got a fright. White as a sheet. His thoughts troubled him. And remember, his thoughts troubled him, and he didn't yet know what the writing actually said. You see, the Babylonians were very superstitious people, pagans. So he would know in their language, in their terminology, this wasn't a good omen. This wasn't a good portent. He was in turmoil. He was in confusion. He was in fear. One minute, he's lost in an alcoholic stupor of fun, partying. The next minute, he's in anguish and he's in turmoil. The joints of his loins were loosed. Now, we're not going into graphic detail, but that means exactly what we think it means. His stomach was churning because he was petrified. His knees smote one against another. We know that phrase very well. His knees were knocking together. Fear, terror, filled with dread. And remember, this was the mightiest man on the earth who had everything he wanted. Look at him now. He's not so proud. God will not be mocked. The psalmist tells us he casts the wicked to the ground. will look at mighty Belshazzar. He's been cast to the ground under the hand of the mighty God of Daniel. But it didn't just have an effect on him. Even his guests were told there in verse 9, all his guests were also astonished. They were similarly affected. They said, look at our great king, he's trembling like a baby. Imagine how he felt after Daniel had interpreted it. Scripture doesn't tell us. But if this is the effect before he knew, we can only imagine how he felt once he knew what the word said. What effect does the writing on the wall have for you? Do you see it? Do you see the writing on the wall? Because you have no excuse. You don't need to call for soothsayers. You don't need to call for the wise men or the Chaldeans to come and interpret this for you. God in his grace has already interpreted it for you. It's plain and clear for you. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Even the children can understand that. You see, Belshazzar, because of what had happened to his father, he had plenty time to make the weight. He had plenty time to bulk up. But he was too proud. His vanity and his vain lifestyle was far more important than his immortal soul. So we ask each one here, particularly those who are without Christ, has your countenance changed? Are your thoughts troubling you? Are your knees knocking together? Is your stomach churning? Because you see the writing on the wall for you, and you know that if you are weighed in the balances of God's absolute perfection, he would find you wanting. Or we pray that you're troubled. Or we pray that you're in anguish. Because if you are, we have something wonderful to tell you. We'll tell you about the remedy. Fourth point. Those of us who were privileged to sit at the Lord's table, we know that we too were proud, rebellious, and now undeserved recipients of the grace of the God of Daniel. And I hope we shall be thankful for many days ahead and for the rest of our lives for what we remember today. But if you absented yourselves, what reason, what self-righteous reason did you work out in your own head to excuse yourself, to think it would be okay? You see, no rational creature has any right whatsoever to absent themselves from the preaching of the gospel. And do you come here tonight because it's the done thing? The unbeliever comes out on the Sabbath evening of a communion to hear an evangelical sermon. Can you see how arrogant even that thinking is? Will you not humble yourself before Almighty God? Well, if you've been arrested, if you've been stopped in your tracks, if this has come as unexpected, well, the remedy that we have to offer is the same remedy that Daniel spoke of to Nebuchadnezzar. And we find that in chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 47. The king Nebuchadnezzar answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets." You see, Nebuchadnezzar knew that he was the Almighty God, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. And he reveals secrets tonight. The secrets of salvation in Jesus Christ. What a gracious God that he reveals in his word that salvation is free to all. It's the remedy for a troubled conscience, for those who are of a fearful disposition, those whose knees are knocking together, those who are brokenhearted, those who can see the writing on the wall. Jesus Christ can save from an eternity in hell for those who came into this building proud and lofty, just like Belshazzar. How is it a remedy? Well, we go back to the scales, because that's the process. That's the revelation God has given us. That's the metaphor he uses here. Weighed in the scales. It was very common in the Yukon gold rush in the 1890s that men would go to the assay office after panning the gold out of the streams in the Yukon. They would try and take some of the iron pyrite, the fool's gold, and mix it in to try and make their poke a little heavier, to try and up the weight. Those of you who used to pick winkles, as I did myself when I was a child, you pick winkles during the summer, you're always tempted to put a few handfuls of rocks in the bottom of the sack just to bring the weight up a bit. Well, when God weighs you in the scales, you can try all the rocks of empty ceremony. You can jump up and down in the pan as much as you like in self-righteousness, trying to shift the weight. But God's righteousness is still down here, and you're up here trying to get the scales to balance. But you know the wonder of wonders. Christ Jesus takes the place of a sinner in the scales. And then what happens? The scales balance. And God no longer says, "I find you wanting." He says, "I find you acceptable in the Beloved." You meet the standard in him because he is the absolutely perfect Savior. There's no flaw in him. There's nothing lightweight about him. There's nothing found wanting in Jesus Christ. And he's freely offered in the gospel. You know, if you ever take jewelry into a jeweler's, and you think it's 24-carat pure gold, you may be informed by the jeweler, or you may know yourselves, there is no such thing as pure gold. The highest purity you can have is 99.95%, because there is always traces of base elements in the gold. Can't be purified to 100%. Well, if you stand in God's scales 99.95% pure, you will be ushered into hell. But if you stand in the scales with the altogether lovely Jesus Christ, the chiefest among 10,000, the one who is clothed with absolute perfection, God is satisfied. the scales balance. What a wonder. What writing is on the wall for you tonight? Is it thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting? Well, we plead with you, do not go into the darkness of sleep with tikel, 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 tikel ringing in your ears. Because we say with all solemnity, Belshazzar didn't see the morning. The party came to an abrupt end, and so did his life. Snuffed out in God's providence because he was too proud to repent. He began the night mocking God and ended up in hell. And we say with all reverence, he's not mocking now. We have a glimpse of what he's doing now, or what is happening to him now. And you heard of this 2 weeks ago from Mr. Budgeon. He's weeping. He's gnashing his teeth. His conscience is tormenting him. He's in outer darkness. He's under God's eternal curse. And he's eternally shut out from the presence of the Lord because he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. Christ Jesus is freely offered. He's the only Savior of sinners. Don't leave the building without Jesus Christ. Because Belshazzar, on his last night on earth, was defiling the vessels of the sanctuary of God. Oh, he thought he had the upper hand. But you want to know a far greater defilement than what Belshazzar was doing? Is leaving this sanctuary and leaving Jesus Christ behind. What an offense to a crucified Savior who freely offers himself. Plenteous redemption. Listen to the fullness. Plenteous redemption. Forgiveness ever found with him. You know all this. Just like Belshazzar, you've been told. Don't find yourself in the scales of God's justice and hear the words, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. May the Lord bless his word to our souls. Let us pray.